Dave, I hardly know what to say. Is this a proposal? Hear that, Pat? Dave just proposed to me. Pat signaled to the waitress. We're celebrating a proposal here. This gentleman would like 2 more K-dogs, my treat.
You're okay, Dave said, grinning. He's a nice guy.
He told Megan. Hmm, Megan said. Dave leaned across the table.
Just between you and me. Why didn't you want to marry her?
Pat looked at him very calmly.
She's pregnant. She just asked me to marry her so the baby would have a father.
No kidding. Is it your cake in her oven?
Pat shook his head.
No way.
Megan was speechless. She felt her jaw go slack, her eyes pop out, and her adrenal glands take a brief pause before declaring code red. That is... You... She sputtered, jumping to her feet.
It's common for pregnant women to stutter and get overly emotional, Pat said to Dave. I know about these things. I'm a doctor.
A doctor? No joke. Boy, that's great.
I'm not pregnant, Megan shouted.
Denial,
Pat whispered to Dave.
That's stage one when you have an unwed mother.
Dave shook his head.
This is sad. I never expected it.
Pat punched him lightly on the biceps.
Don't worry about it. You're going to make a terrific father.
I don't know. I wasn't counting on marrying somebody who's already pregnant with someone else's kid.
Dave,
Pat said, his voice soft and pleading.
Someone's got to marry her. Be a sport.
Hell, why don't you marry her? If you're such a bleeding heart.
It would be easier for you. You've already got a ring.
Pat stood up and turned his pockets inside out.
You see?
No ring.
I'll sell you this one.
He shook his head.
I couldn't afford a ring that size.
I'll give you a good price. It has a flaw in it.
What? Megan shrieked. You gave me a ring with a flaw in it? You told me it was perfect. Perfect, like me, you said.
That's how she got pregnant,
Pat confided in Dave.
Believes everything she's told.
Right off the pumpkin truck.
Sad, Dave said.
So, who's gonna marry her? The waitress asked.
Yeah,
the bartender called.
Which one of you guys is gonna marry her?
That's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us for the Noon Book Hour. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow for our next installment from the Recording Library of West Texas.
Next, on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, the coronavirus update, followed by USA Today at 2. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, Recording Library of West Texas Radio is bringing you a special selection of iconic audio-described movies. On Thanksgiving Day at 1 p.m., we start with 101 Dalmatians. At around 2:25 p.m., it's The Wizard of Oz. Around 4:05 p.m., Raiders of the Lost Ark. And at about 5:55 p.m., The Godfather. On Black Friday, we start our movies at midnight with Clint Eastwood's Dirty Harry. Friday at 8 a.m., it's E.T. the Extraterrestrial. At 1 p.m., Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman star in Casablanca. About 2:30 p.m., Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet star in Titanic. And around 5:45 Friday afternoon, The Godfather Part 2. On Saturday at midnight, our movies continue with Apocalypse Now. And on Saturday night, our weekly movie begins earlier at 5 p.m. with the classic Gone with the Wind. Sunday night at 6:30, it's Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump. Finally, Monday morning at 8, Gene Kelly stars in Singin' in the Rain. We hope you enjoy our audio-described iconic movies all weekend from Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 74 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-40s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
Our regularly scheduled program won't be heard at this time, so we can bring you the following special presentation.
As a special treat this Thanksgiving week, Recording Library of West Texas Radio is bringing you a selection of old-time radio shows from the 30s and 40s. We hope you enjoy these next two selections from the golden age of radio.
Hello, are you there? Well, we're here.
Swan the soap that's pure and gentle. Come on, come on, swing to Swan.
Lever Brothers, the makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, present the Burns and Allen Show with Paul Whiteman. Our singer, Jimmy Cash, yours truly, Bill Goodwin, the six hits and a miss, and George Burns and Gracie Allen. Here they are. Well, today George and Gracie are discussing a subject that most husbands never mention to their wives. In fact, it's a subject that never arises in the average American home. Let's listen.
Gracie, you've been spending too much money. Look at this budget for November.
Well, it balances. We're not spending any more than we make.
I know, but that's the trouble. Some of the items in this budget are ridiculous. Milk for cats, $2? We haven't got any cats.
No, but we have mice.
Well, I don't get it.
Well, if I put bowls of milk all around the house, the mice will think we have cats and they'll be afraid to come out of the hole.
Oh, fine. And some night I'll kick over a bowl of milk and ruin the rug.
Oh, you're right, dear. I hadn't thought of that. Oh, I know. I'll scare the mice with milk that doesn't splash.
Milk that doesn't splash?
Sure, cheese.
Yeah, that'll scare the mice to death.
Oh, I'll answer it.
Okay, dear.
Oh, it's the postman. Good morning, Mr. Postman.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns. Only one for you today, and I'm afraid that one's a bill.
Oh, well, that's all right, Mr. Postman. I realize the post office only sends us what they get. How are you feeling?
Oh, simply marvelous. I took a nice cold shower. Ice cold shower this morning and then ran around the reservoir a couple of times in my shorts. I guess that's what put all this pep in me.
Oh. Well, no doubt about it. It is a gorgeous morning, isn't it? Cool and snappy, sort of.
Yeah. On a morning like this, I can feel the blood racing through my veins, can't you?
Well, no, I can't, but then you're much closer to your veins than I am.
Yeah, that's true. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
Any mail, dear?
Oh, it's just a bill, probably for my new hat. It only costs $12.
$12?
Well, George, I only buy what I absolutely have to. Just bare necessities.
Is a $12 hat a bare necessity?
No, but I didn't want my head to be one.
Gracie, you don't need any more hats. And today, when you buy anything you don't need, you're taking something away from our fighting men.
Oh, well, gee, I never thought of that. I'll wrap up the hat right away.
That's the idea.
I wonder who would look better on, a soldier or a sailor.
Gracie, it's not the hat. You see, very few things are being made for civilians today. And if everybody tries to buy those things, the demand makes prices go up and we've got inflation.
Oh, well, gee, the sales girl said that the hat would cause comment, but I never thought it would cause inflation.
Well, let's get back to this budget. What's this silly item? Bicycle pump, $1.
Well, that's an economy. That'll save us lots of money on breakfast food.
A bicycle pump will save us money on breakfast food?
Well, yeah. From now on, we'll puff our own rice.
Yes, that'll save us a fortune. And what's this? Rose bushes, $75.
Well, you know that florist who has that lovely big greenhouse just off Glendale Boulevard?
Yes.
Well, I happened to be out in that direction yesterday and went through it.
Yeah, but I don't see any rose bushes around here. Where are they?
Well, there's one still stuck in the bumper of my car.
You really went through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I'll save enough money to make up for it. I'm going to buy one of those things that conductors punch tickets with.
What's that for?
Well, then we won't have to pay the cleaner to take the spots out of your necktie.
I see. We just punch them out.
Yeah. Mm.
Look, sweetheart, from now on, we only buy what we absolutely need. The rest of the money goes for war bonds.
But we do buy war bonds every month.
Yes, but if we cut out these silly things, we can really buy more. And not only that, we get $4 back for every $3 we put in. We help prevent inflation, and we help win the war.
Oh, you're right, dear. Everybody should cut down on their spending and put that money into war bonds.
That's the idea. So let's throw the silly budget right out of the window.
Well, but don't you want to look at the items for our Thanksgiving dinner?
We'll cut that, too. The turkey we had last year should have had a pilot and a bombardier.
Well, this year we're only getting a 12-pound turkey, 3 pounds for each of us.
Well, I don't follow that arithmetic.
Well, Blanche and Harry Morton are going to eat with us.
Not again. Those sponges have had Thanksgiving dinner at our house 5 years in a row.
They're not sponges, George. They contribute their share. Every year, Blanche brings over a jar of her homemade pickled peaches.
I know.
And every year, Harry helps you clean the walls when the jar explodes.
Sure, they're absolutely wonderful people.
Hi, George. Hello, Gracie. What's cooking?
I am. Burnt up about Harry Morton. That guy's a sponge.
He's not a sponge.
He is, too. Believe it, the Bill.
Now, wait a minute, George. I'd rather not get in the middle of a family quarrel.
Bill, I'm trying to prove to Gracie that Morton is a sponge. Now, you know him. What do you say?
Well, George, of course, there's only one way to tell a sponge, that is, a real sponge. You rub soap on it, and if you get loads and loads of pure baby gentle suds, you've got Swan, the new white floating soap.
What's Harry Morton got to do with Swan soap?
Well, now, look, George, I don't want to get involved in a family argument.
Yeah, but just answer me one question. Have you ever known Morton to reach for a check?
Well,
oh, come on, admit it, have you?
Well, maybe you don't notice his hand when he reaches across the white tablecloth to pick up a check because his hands are so soft and white. You know, he washes his wife's dishes with Swan soap, George.
Oh, brother.
That's Swan for you, George. So kind to your hands. Mild as the finest Castile soaps. So mild you should use it not only for washing the dishes, but for every soap and water job in the house. In fact, Swan is
Bill,
great for everything.
Bill, I'm going to get you to agree that Harry Morton is a moocher if it's the last thing I do. What about the other day when the three of us went into a drugstore for sodas? Who paid the check?
Oh, you mean the drugstore that's having the sale on Swan soap?
Yeah. How about that?
Oh, it's going great. Lots of dealers are now running a big sale on Swan.
Bill, I'm talking about Harry Morton.
Oh, well, he bought 3 bars. Oh. You know, you buy 3 bars and save. Yes, sir, you save in more ways than one.
Well, I give up. There's a guy invites himself to my house for Thanksgiving dinner, and nobody agrees with me that he's a chiseler.
Well, now, wait a minute. Did he do that?
Yes.
Well, anyone who invites himself to your house for Thanksgiving dinner without being asked certainly is a chiseler.
There. You see, Gracie?
Oh, George, that reminds me why I dropped in.
Why?
Shake hands with another chiseler. So long. See you Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm glad his salary is frozen. It'll be easier to break off. Anyway, Gracie, there's no reason why we should buy a turkey to feed the Mortons.
Well, but George...
Look, Gracie, why can't we eat at their house for a change?
Well, I could call Blanche and sort of hint around.
Well, I wish you would. Of course, I don't want you to be too blunt about it.
Oh, don't worry, George. She won't suspect a thing.
Mm.
I'll be very subtle about it. Hello? Hello, Blanche? This is Gracie. How about inviting us for Thanksgiving dinner this year?
That's very subtle.
What did you say, Blanche? Oh, I see. Your mother and father are coming for Thanksgiving. What? Oh, no, that's all right. Yeah, we understand. And goodbye, Blanche. Well, Judge, Blanche's mother and father are going to be in town.
I know, I heard.
So we won't need to get a turkey for 4 people.
Oh, good.
We'll get one for 6.
Ah.
This is Paul Whiteman, and here's Jimmy Cash voicing the hopes of millions of people all over the world.
When the light's gone again all over the world, and the boys are home again all over the world, and rain or snow is all that may fall from the skies above, a kiss from me.
Well, George didn't say positively that the Mortons couldn't come for Thanksgiving dinner. He just gave Gracie $1.50 and told her to buy the turkey. So now we pick up Gracie at Myers Market.
Hello, Mr. Myers.
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Burns.
Well, now, I'm in sort of a hurry. Can you wait on me right away?
Why, of course I can. What would you like?
Well, I'd like to place an order for...
Gracie, darling!
Oopsie Bagwell!
Oh, my, it's good to see you again, Gracie. Where have you been keeping yourself?
All around. Where have you been?
Oh, here and there.
Oh, well, no wonder we haven't seen each other. Oh, what are you doing? Shopping for dinner?
Yes, I bought some nice carrots.
Oh, well, what a piece of luck, Tootsie. Only yesterday I read the most wonderful new recipe. It's called Carrot Supreme.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
Oh, it is. First you take the carrots.
Yes.
And then you wash them.
Yes.
And, well, that's all I remember, but it's called Carrot Supreme, and it's wonderful.
Oh, I can't wait to try it.
Oh, dear. Mr. Myers has wandered off somewhere. Mr. Myers?
Yes, Mrs. Burns.
Look, I don't want to be a pest, but I am in a hurry, and... Could you wait on me now?
Right away. What would you like?
Well, I'd like... Oh, Tootsie, I noticed you're carrying a hat box.
Yes, I got a new hat at Sally's.
Well, I got a new hat, too, but George made me send it back.
Is he trying to act like a man again?
Well, he was right this time. We're cutting our budget down. And besides, the hat was pretty extreme.
One of the new creations?
Well, yeah, it was a military motive. The hat had a flat top, and when you leaned over, a little toy airplane took off.
Oh, how adorable.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Myers is gone again. He's much too scatterbrained to run a market. Mr. Myers?
Yes, Mrs. Burns.
Look, I hate to complain about the service, but I do think you might remember that I'm in a hurry.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Burns. What would you like?
Well, I'd like it. Oh, Tootsie, look. Look who's driving by the market.
Who is it, Gracie?
Bill Walsh. Have you still got a crush on him?
Not anymore. After what happened Saturday night, I never want to see him again.
Why? What did happen?
Oh, I invited him for dinner, and I thought it would be more cozy if I locked all the doors.
Well?
Well, there I was picking broken window glass out of my soup.
Well, this is the limit. That silly Mr. Myers has forgotten all about it. Mr. Myers!
Yes, Mrs. Burns.
Look, if you want me to trade here, you shouldn't keep disappearing when you know I'm in a hurry.
Okay, Mrs. Burns, what would you like?
How much is turkey?
50 cents a pound.
All right, here's $1.50. Give me an 18-pound turkey.
Oh, Mrs. Burns, that isn't enough.
Oh, yes, it is. We're only having 6 for dinner.
No, 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 no. $1.50 would only buy that little turkey over there. He only weighs 3 pounds.
Why didn't you pluck his feathers out like the others?
Well, he might not like it. You see, he's alive.
Oh. Say, I've got an idea. I could fatten him up, and then the Mortons could come to dinner, and it'll only cost George $1.50. Mr. Myers, I'll take him.
Okay, Mrs. Burns, I'll get it.
Gracie, what does George say if you bring a live turkey in the house?
Oh, gee, I never thought of that. He'll be mad. He even had a fight with Herman this morning.
Did he pick on that sweet little duck?
Yeah, George yelled and yelled, but Herman didn't say a word. He just sat there quietly in the nest he'd made of George's shorts.
Oh, such a darling.
Yes. Oh, I know. I'll sneak the turkey in. Tootsie, would you lend me your hat box to hide it in?
Of course I would. I've been dying to show you my new hat anyway. I'll take it out of the box.
All right.
Here's the turkey, Mrs. Byrne. No, not by the neck. You hold him by the feet.
Oh, all right. Oh, my, his little feet are chapped. Well, he shouldn't be running around barefooted in November. Well, Mr. Myers, why does he make that funny noise?
Well, all turkeys gobble.
Well, then he should eat slower. Or else take some bicarbonate of soda.
Wakey, look. I've got on my new hat. How do you like it?
Well, do you want my frank opinion, or would you rather have me tell a little white lie?
I'll take the little white lie.
Tootsie, it's simply gorgeous.
Oh, thank you, Gracie.
You're welcome, Tootsie. Goodbye. Hello, dear.
Oh, back so soon. Gracie, did you buy another hat?
Uh-uh.
Then what's in the box?
What box?
The box you have under your arm.
What arm?
What arm?
Well, you
that
mean
arm.
This arm?
Hmm.
The one attached to my shoulder?
Yes, what's in it?
Oh, bones and muscles and arteries. And...
Not the arm, the box.
Oh, the box.
The box, what's in it?
Well, a picture?
Are you asking me?
No, I'm telling you. It's a picture of my cousin Philip. That's what it is, a picture. A talking picture. You know, cousin Philip spoke very little English.
Chrissy, for the last time, what is in that box?
Well, all right, I'll tell you. But you've got to promise you won't get mad. Will you get mad?
No.
How much do you want to bet?
Gracie.
Well, you told me I could spend $1.50 for a turkey. So I bought a little live one, and we can fatten them up, and that way we have the mortgage over.
You bought a live turkey?
Well, they're easier to fatten up that way than the other kind.
Oh, well, that's fine. I knew we'd wind up feeding those Whartons again. Okay, let's see this turkey that we're going to fatten up. Gee. He isn't very friendly. He looks like he's thinking of biting my nose off.
Well, look what you're thinking of doing to him.
Yes, I guess so.
Oh, it's my darling little ducky. Oh, Herman, Mama has a surprise for you. Yes, really. Look in this box. Oh, Herman, don't be frightened. It's only a little turkey. And he's got to live with us for a while, Herman. Oh, why, Herman Burns, you're jealous.
This is the happiest moment of my life.
From Irving Berlin's This is the Army, here's a tune that's coming up fast to be a real winner. The Boys and Six Hits and a Miss, and I'm Getting Tired So I Can Sleep.
I can be with you. Baby, I'm yours, I've got. got your picture by my bed. Soon I'll place it neath my head to keep me company the whole night through. For a little while, whatever befalls, I will see you smile.
Still reveille calls.
Do 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 do. I hope you're tired enough to sleep. And please sleep long enough to dream. And look for me, for I'll be dreaming. I'm dreaming dreams, but now it seems I'm getting tired, so tired.
Gracie, are Herman and that tux, and that duck still fighting in the pantry?
Well, I'll look and see. I think they're still fighting.
I got the same impression. And unless we do something, the neighbors will be complaining about the noise.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past that snippy Mrs. Marks who lives next door. She's had it in for me ever since I borrowed her vacuum cleaner last week. I don't know why.
Well, maybe you kept it too long.
Oh, no. I gave it back to her as soon as I finished cleaning the fish.
Very unreasonable woman.
Hi, people.
What brings you back, Chisler?
Well, that's what brought me back. I invited myself over here for Thanksgiving dinner, and then I remembered I have a date with a girl for Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, that's too bad, though.
But, Gracie, you love having her. She eats like a horse.
Oh, fine. Well, Bill, your Thanksgiving dinner's in the pantry, and he's fighting with that silly duck.
Oh, a live turkey?
Mm.
Well, I better go out and break it up. You know, it'd be just like Herman to bite him in the part I like best. Leave it to me, George. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Just a minute. Don't you birds realize that you get along better in life if you behave yourself and don't fight? Yes, that's so. Now, you take the case of a little swan I know, Herman. He was a good little bird, and now he's famous. They put his picture on every swan wrapper, and he's very proud. Because swan is the new white floating soap that gives you all that pure, mild lather so fast. So you see, Herman, it pays to be a sweet little bird. Yes, that's so. Oh, shut up. Oh, now, wait a minute. I didn't mean that, Herman. I meant you should be gentle, like swan soap is gentle. It's as mild as the finest Castile soaps, so mild that mothers use it to bathe their babies, so mild that it's perfect for anybody's bath or shower. So, Herman, why don't you be mild and gentle, too, and put your wing around a cute, itty-bitty baby turkey? Why, listen, you little ducky. There's plenty of room for both of you. So instead of fighting, why don't you go half and half? You know, like swan soap. You break it in two, put half in the kitchen for dishes and cleaning, and the other half in the bathroom for your hands and face. Now do you see what I'm talking about, Herman?
Uh-huh.
Well, what do you say to the little turkey? Hey, ow, ow, cut it out, ow. Well, so long, George. So long, Gracie.
What's your hurry, Bill?
Why are you limping?
Herman bit me in the part he likes best. Goodbye.
Gracie, go in the pantry and stop that fighting or we'll be thrown out of the neighborhood.
All right, dear. Oh, now, stop that right now. Stop it. Why, shame on you, Herman Burns. That's no way to treat a little girl turkey. Yes, a girl. Herman, isn't she cute? Yes. Oh. Why, Herman Burns. You know, sometimes I think you're older than you look. Hey, George,
Gracie. Look,
George,
Gracie,
finally...
a man just delivered all these things. What are they anyway?
Well, they're for the turkey, George. I bought a little tub for it to swim around in, and I
a
also
tub?
Bought...
A tub for the turkey to swim around in?
Well, yes, I thought it would be more humane. The turkey can get used to it by degrees, and it won't be such a shock when the time comes.
Get used to what by degrees?
Well, I'm going to fill the tub with gravy.
Well, that's a brilliant idea. Anything else?
Yes, yeah, I bought a sun lamp.
A sun lamp for the turkey?
Yeah.
Well, why did you get that?
Well, mostly for your sake.
For my sake?
Yeah, I know you prefer dark meat.
Gracie, your ideas about raising a turkey are too advanced.
But, George, people shouldn't be afraid to try something new. Suppose Marconi had been afraid to experiment. We'd only have spaghetti.
Oh, sure, sure. Gracie, this turkey is costing me a fortune. Look at these price tags. Tub, $5. Sun lamp, $15. I could have bought 3 turkeys with this.
We're coming.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
How do
going
you
out
do?
And buying.
Have you a little turkey and a little duck, as reported by a neighbor?
Well, yes. Why?
May I refer you to Statute 193 of this county? Possession of 2 or more live fowl shall in this county be deemed ipso facto a poultry farm, and such aforesaid property pertaining thereof shall be governed according to Article 38, Section 17 of the laws of said county.
What does that mean?
Cough up $10 for a poultry license.
Well, that does it. I'm going into that pantry, and the next time you see that turkey, he'll have parsley where his feathers used to be.
Oh, but dear...
Come on, come on. I'm going to settle this right now. I knew that this thing would cost me a fortune.
George, look. Herman and the turkey. Herman's got his wing around it.
Well, that's fine. Get this. Love comes to Herman Burns.
George, come inside a minute.
What?
George, I won't let you touch that turkey. It would be inhuman, that's what it would be.
What would be inhuman?
To eat our son's fiancé for Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, George and Gracie will be right back, so I've got just a second to remind you to stop in where you see the swan sign that says buy 3 and save. Take advantage of the big sale on swan that so many dealers are now running. And don't forget, sale or no sale, you save with swan. You save because swan gives you more soap per penny than any leading toilet soap tested. And you save because swan goes further than easily wasted package soaps. No matter what you use swan for, it saves you money. So buy 3 bars and save. Well, here they are again, George and Gracie. Gracie's on the phone.
Hello? Is this Harry Morton? Hello, Harry. Harry, will you tell Blanche George is on his way over with a little turkey? He wouldn't let me keep it. It's pretty small, but you can fatten him up. How? Well, just feed a chocolate fudge sundae. Well, sure it'll work. Look at your wife.
Next week at the same time, Eddie Cantor will be George and Gracie's guest, and there's a rumor that Ida might join the Beverly Hills Uplift Society. So, the makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune in. Remember, Swan now brings you 2 of radio's top shows. George Burns and Gracie Allen, and Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou over another network. And now till next week, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, hi, Swan. How about you?
Try spry.
You'll find the baking you turn out fluffy and light.
surprise, surprise. You're sure to hear your family shout, what a delight. Or cake, pie, donuts, the thing you fry. Surprise, surprise. What's that you say you're going to try today?
Why, sure.
Surprise, surprise.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're hearing special Thanksgiving selections from old-time radio programs. Stay tuned. Our next show from the golden age of radio is coming up next. Thanksgiving has always been the official kickoff of the Christmas season. We're getting into the spirit on Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday with 2 hours of Christmas music. Listen Thursday and Friday mornings from 10 to noon for 2 hours of the music of the season to put you into the holiday spirit. Season's greetings from all of us at the Recording Library of West Texas.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 75 and clear. Tonight, clear with a low in the mid-40s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low-50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
In the movie Wake Island, he was a Brooklyn Marine. In Abroad with Two Yanks, he's Biff the Private. But tonight, he's just another American citizen looking forward to good old Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, and I got plenty to be thankful for. This year, our family's going to have a turkey filled with chestnut. When I was a kid, we had a chestnut filled with turkey.
The American Meat Institute presents William Bendix in The Life of Riley. And later during our show, we'll have a special visit from your favorite Hollywood correspondent, Jimmy Fiddler. And now, on behalf of all those engaged in supplying meat to the nation, the American Meat Institute presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The Rileys have just witnessed a performance of a Thanksgiving play at the high school, and right now they're waiting for their daughter Babs outside the stage door.
Why, I thought the play was fine, especially the way Babs played Priscilla.
Yeah. Yeah, Babs was good. And I got a laugh when Captain Miles Standish's beard fell off. Boy, was his face nude.
Oh, if I was Priscilla, I'd sooner marry Miles Standish than Elmer Gillis.
But the Gillis boy was playing John Alden. She had to marry him. That's history.
Now, wait a minute. If they were so stuck on getting history into it, answer me this. Where was Nathan Hale?
Nathan Hale wasn't a pilgrim. Pop, you're all mixed up.
Junior, a little respect, please. I know history, too. Nathan Hale was the fellow who said, I regret that I have but one wife to give to my country.
Oh, Riley. If you see any of Babs' teachers, don't talk history with them.
Believe me, that play wasn't history. And that Elmer wasn't a pilgrim. He was a grim pill. What an actor. He ain't got enough life in him to play a dead body, that guy.
Oh, quiet, Riley. Huh? Here's Elmer's father.
Well, if it ain't the Riley.
Oh, hello, Gillis. I was just saying how your boy Elmer played John Alden. Great!
Thanks. And whatever you've been saying about my boy Elmer's acting goes double for your daughter Babs.
Oh, dear. Those pilgrims sure lived in romantic days. Sometimes I wish we'd been born in those days.
If we had, we'd be pretty old by now, huh?
I suppose you might have married Captain Miles Standish instead of me, huh, Peg?
Well, it depends, Riley. You think you could have kept us some fresh turkeys like John Alden kept Priscilla?
Well, sure, I know how to shoot a gun. Remember the time we had a shooting match down at Cohen's farm? Didn't I shoot the cigar right out of Muley Durkin's mouth?
Well, sure you did. But the target was a tin can on a fence.
Was it?
Yes, Riley, if I was a turkey, I wouldn't be worried when you came around.
There's a woman's logic for you. Look, Peg, we're married, ain't we? If you was a turkey, I'd be a turkey, too, and turkeys don't go around shooting each other.
Now, you take me, Riley. Every year, I go up to Antelope Valley. I shoot a gobbler for Thanksgiving.
Oh, you do?
Well, sure. Ask my wife.
You hear that, Riley?
What he can do, I can do.
Huh? Well, sure you can. Just the same, I'm getting our turkey from Jake's Market.
Now, listen. Hey, Peg, where you going?
Oh, I'll be right back. I'm just going inside to see what's keeping bad.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll go with you, Mom.
Look, Gillis, what's the idea of tearing me down in front of my wife? Telling them cock and bullet stories about shooting turkeys, huh? Well, it's true. If I'm lying, may I never see my landlord again. I still don't believe you. On the level, Riley. See, every Thanksgiving up in Antelope Valley, they have a big turkey shoot. The best 10 scores win a turkey. It's only $1 a try. And with $5, you're sure to win one.
Oh, I can win a turkey at a shooting match, huh?
Well, sure, it's a cinch. And Digger Odell, the undertaker, he'd lend you his cabin he's got up there.
Oh, that'd be perfect. But look, supposing a guy, naming no names, but supposing this guy couldn't shoot so good and he wanted to show his wife he was a good shot. Suppose this guy loses in the match.
I know one man. Yeah. Again, naming no name, he happens to be my children's father. This guy, if he loses in the shoot, he buys a turkey from some guy who wins.
Oh, I get it, Gillis, yeah. Well, the first thing tomorrow, I'm seeing Digger Odell and talking turkey. Good morning, Digger. Glad I found you home. How's my favorite undertaker?
Glad to see you, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
I feel good. Say, Digger, I got a favor to ask you about Thanksgiving.
Ah, Thanksgiving. Roast turkey, cranberry sauce, gravy. I adore Thanksgiving. It's so gay.
Yeah, well, I want to prove to my wife that I'm a good shot, so could I borrow your place up in Antelope Valley this Thanksgiving, please? Huh?
Certainly, Riley. Ah. Glad to be of help in your hour of need. In my profession, we have a slogan. The good that you do to people will come back to you in the end. And so will the people. Riley, you'll enjoy my ranch.
Ranch? Say, how big is this place of yours?
It's a mile long by 15 feet wide. The land used to belong to a railroad, but they moved over to straighten the track.
Well, that's a kind of an odd shape, though, isn't it?
Yes, long and narrow, but very comfortable.
Yes,
Personally, I adore it. The wide open spaces, the bracing air, the smell of wood smoke to sharpen the appetite. It makes you feel so alive.
Well, I gotta be going, and thanks for everything, Digger.
Cheerio, Riley. Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie.
Since you asked me, Riley, I think spending Thanksgiving in the woods is silly.
But you love Digger's Ranch. The house is filled with wide open spaces. You gotta brace yourself against the fresh air because your lungs are filled with wood smoke. It makes you feel as if you were alive.
Well, maybe. But I still think we better stay home on Thanksgiving.
Oh, nothing doing. I'm gonna make you take back what you said about me being a bad shot. I'm gonna win at that shooting match.
Oh, well, I don't mind going, but couldn't we buy a turkey and bring it up there? You know, just in case.
Stop worrying, Peg. I guarantee to bring in a turkey. If I don't, I'll eat my hat.
Save the crown for me, Pop.
Junior.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Riley. I'm glad I got you in time. This is Gillis.
Well, hurry up, Gillis. We're just leaving for the woods. The family's outside waiting for me.
Oh, I got bad news, Riley.
Huh?
I just heard that the tanky chute's been called off.
Huh? They can't do this to me. What am I going to do now?
Call the trip off.
I can't back out now. I've been bragging so much about what a good shot I am. If I don't win a turkey, I'm a dead duck.
Hurry up, Riley.
I'm coming. I got to go now, Gillis. Maybe I'll think of something on my way to the station.
Riley, who's that on the phone?
Gillis.
Oh, is anything wrong?
No.
Well, then why are you looking so gloomy?
Well, Gillis was just telling me about a nice family he knows that may be without a turkey for Thanksgiving.
In a moment, we'll find out if Riley can wriggle out of his dilemma. But right now, this is Ken Niles, your Minuteman for meat. And my minute's worth tonight is on this question. What can you do about the cuts of meat you can't get these war days? And the answer is, you braise the cuts of beef you do get. You see, our government is taking a big part of beef steaks and beef roasts these days to feed our fighters. So, a lot of the beef left for us on the home front is what we call the braising cuts. They're lean, and you must prepare them a little more thoroughly if you want to serve them at their best. So, the American Meat Institute recommends braising. Now, braising is a little like roasting, and it's a little like frying. It's accomplished through low heat over a longer time and on top of the stove. You pan brown your short ribs or flank steak or pot roasts or whatever you're braising. You add liquid, put on the cover, and let her braise. And boy, oh boy, braised beef, brown, glistening, drenched with gravy, tender though lean, is something to kiss your cook about. So, ladies, if you're hungry for kisses or compliments or just plain hungry, braise that beef. Remember, the braising cuts of beef are rich in proteins of highest quality, just as all cuts of meat. All meat is a yardstick of protein foods because all meat measures up to every protein need. Well, it's Thanksgiving morning, and the Rileys are at Digger Odell's cabin in the woods. Riley, determined to keep up his big bluff that his shooting skill will get him a turkey, is tramping through the woods, gun in hand, with Junior.
Junior, I don't know why you had to come along. You're going to make me nervous when I'm aiming at the target.
Well, I'm sticking with you, Pop. I want to see how you do in that shooting match.
Don't even trust your own father.
Hey, Pop, you said the turkey shoot was being held near Hooper Falls. We're going the wrong way. Look, there's a station.
Yeah, I know. Junior, look, we got to have a father and son talk. It's time you knew something. I can't put it off any longer.
Oh, you mean you're going to tell me about the bees and the flowers?
Now, Junior, about the birds. One particular bird, a turkey. Look, Junior, we always been good friends. With us, it's been one for all and every man for himself. It's always going to be that way, right?
Okay, Pop. What is it you don't want me to tell Mom?
Well, you don't have to be so blunt. But you see, the turkey shoot was called off.
You mean we aren't going to have a turkey?
Well, it looked that way at first, but just before we got on the train, I got a big idea. I phoned Jake's meat market from the depot, and I fixed it with Jake to ship a turkey up here on the morning train. Now I pick it up at the station and tell your mother I won it at the turkey shoot. Ha, 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 what a rib.
What a fib.
Well, after we're all full of turkey, I'm going to tell the truth.
Oh, here's the station, Pop.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh, I don't see it outside, and the station's locked.
Well, somebody's got to be here. How am I going to get my turkey? Wait. Here's a note on the window here. Closed today. Closed? No, they can't do this to me.
Oh, Pop, Pop, now we ain't gonna have any turkey, and it's Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Junior, for keeping me informed.
Oh, well, Pop, let's go home. Oh,
Junior, I can't go home without a turkey, so now I'm really going hunting.
But, Pop, there's no turkeys in these woods.
Well, there's other game to hunt. There's deer.
Deer? But we'll never get it home. A deer's too big.
Oh, all right, then. I'll shoot a rabbit. They're smaller.
Oh, you couldn't shoot a rabbit. They're too fast.
Yeah, well, then keep your eye open for a turtle.
Gosh, turtle.
Well, I heard it's very tasty. We can have turtle drumsticks and stuff the shell with chestnuts. Come on, we go to
work. Well, if you ask me, we're on a wild goose chase.
Well, if we get a wild goose, that's better than nothing. Come on, let's...
Gee, we've been walking for 4 hours, and here we are, back at the train track.
Yeah. My feet would give their right arm to get out of my shoes. Junior.
What?
Did you ever hear of a mirage that looked like a turkey?
No, Pop.
Then look where I'm pointing. And if you see what I see, I'm going to shoot.
It's a bird, okay, Pop. Listen.
It's a turkey. A big gobbler. Junior, stand back. I'm taking aim.
Pop, you're shaking. Should I hold a gun still?
No, you better go hold the turkey. No! No, stay here. Get behind me, Junior.
Let me shoot it, Pop.
No. Look out. Now I got a bead on him. I see him under the gun sight.
Pop, he's coming toward us.
I won't shoot till I see the white meat of his eye. One, two.
You missed him.
I couldn't have missed.
Well, open your eyes and look. He's still coming at you, Pop.
I'll get him this time. Ha! Pick him up, Junior.
You didn't even touch him. Now he's running toward us.
Junior, he's surrendering. He knows when he's licked. What the...
Gosh, Pop. I think he likes you.
Yeah. I can't shoot no bird that gives himself up, can I? Now, go away, turkey. Shoot. Right. Turkey, stop trying to kiss me. Go on.
Hey, Pop, look. There's a tag on his leg.
Well, read it.
Let's see. My name is Sultan. I belong to Patty Kane, age 7. Please do not feed me.
Feed him? I wanted him to feed me.
Gosh, what a Thanksgiving. No turkey.
Well, it ain't right. I'm a law-abiding man. Don't I do my work? Don't I buy war bonds? Don't I let the government withhold my tax? But I have to go without turkey on Thanksgiving. It ain't right.
Boy, that cabin sure looks good, don't it, Pop?
Well, I gotta go in and explain to your mother about no turkey. This is what I get for trying to be a smart aleck. Well, here goes.
Riley, Junior, where have you been?
Pop, Peg, I've been thinking. Why don't we all go on a diet, starting today? A foodless diet.
Well, we can talk about it after dinner. Meanwhile, the turkey's getting cold.
I think did you say turkey?
Of course, turkey. In the dining room on the table.
Turkey? Gosh, Junior, look. What a turkey.
Oh, Mom, did you shoot it?
Yeah, Peg, how, who, when...
That was some joke you played on us, Riley, you clever thing. Station master said you had it shipped up here from town, and he knew we'd want it today. Brought it here himself.
Yeah. Ain't that ironical?
Hey, Pop, your neck's getting red.
That sunburn left over from last summer, Junior.
Well, dinner's ready, Daddy.
Okay, folks, grab your chairs. Every man for himself. Come on, pull them up there.
Oh, it looks delicious.
Start carving, Pop.
Okay, let me have that carving knife. Dr. Riley wanted in surgery. Folks, just to make sure everybody gets enough turkey, I'm going to give you your second helpings first.
Oh, Riley.
Huh?
Haven't you forgotten something?
Huh? Oh. Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. Well, here it is. Another Thanksgiving Day. And we have plenty to thank you for. For our food and for our work that earns it. And most of all, for all of us being here together. Some families are pretty far apart today. If you could see your way clear to bring them back together again pretty soon now, we'd be mighty grateful for that, too. We thank you for letting us live in a country where there'll always be a Thanksgiving Day, and if you help us, well, we'll do all we can so that someday there won't be any place in the world where people can't live in peace with each other. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Riley will be back in a moment with your favorite Hollywood correspondent, Jimmy Fiddler. And remember, folks, all meat, regardless of cut or kind, has the right kind of proteins to build and rebuild body tissues. That's what makes meat a yardstick of protein foods. It measures up to every protein need. And may I add, the nutritional statements just made about meat are accepted by the Council on Foods and Nutrition of the American Medical Association.
Attaboy, Ken. Folks, this is Bill Bendix welcoming Jimmy Fiddler, who has a special message for us. So, Jimmy, on behalf of all the Rileys, welcome. Our microphone is yours.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Thanksgiving Day is almost here. Perhaps if you have loved ones overseas and if there'll be empty chairs at your table on Thanksgiving, you may think you haven't much for which to be grateful. Perhaps food rationing, gas rationing, shortages here and shortages there have aggravated you. If that's true, open your minds and your hearts. We Americans have plenty to be thankful for. We can be thankful that we have freedom of the speech. We can be grateful for free press, for free screen and radio. Freedom of to worship God as we wish. Thankful that we can laugh and can speak our minds without fear. That we can say no and not be forced to say yes at the point of a bayonet, like the people of Germany and Japan. We can be thankful that our cities and homes haven't been bombed, and that our babies haven't gone hungry. We can be thankful that the men who lead us today are now determined that there shall be no more wars, no more death and tragedy and famine. Let's protect this magnificent freedom and prove our thanks by buying war bonds, buying them till our pocketbooks are pinched. Good night.
Follow The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix and sponsored by the American Meat Institute, next week at this same time.
This is the Blue Network.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
HEB, in partnership with Favor Delivery, started Friday, a service that gives seniors access to a personal shopper by phone, allowing them to get essential food and supplies delivered to them while remaining in the comfort and safety of their home. Times are 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., 7 days a week. To access the senior support line, call 1-833-397-0080. Again, that number is 1-833-397-0080. 877-397-0080. To find out more about the program, visit favordelivery.com/senior.
As we celebrate Thanksgiving,